Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. And then bring them to the family. Amen. Well, we come to our last session this evening. And if you have your outline, it's outline message 4. It's from chapter 11 in the book. Having the increase of the church also through the children. Let's read two verses from Matthew chapter 13 before we start. Actually, we're going to read three verses, but let's read two from Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 37 and 38. Okay? Matthew 13, 37 and 38. And he answered and said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one." And he answered and said, Amen. 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 He who sows the good seed. Sorry. I need the brothers. Okay. The verse tells us that the Son of Man is the sower. And we know this from the first part of chapter 13. The sower went out to sow. And some seed fell here and some fell there. And in that part of the parable, it tells us that the seed is the Word of God. But here, the seed are people. They're the sons of the kingdom. What does that tell you? That tells you that the Word of God was sown into some hearts. It found good ground there, and it grew up, and it produced them to be seeds. So now the seeds are not just the Word black and white. The Word has become persons. They're the embodiment of the word. And then the Lord can sow them, scatter them into various places for his multiplication. Isn't that good? Are you becoming the word of God? Yes. One more verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter 1, 1. And you need to get your recovery version. You need to, because I want you to look at a footnote. And I'm going to read this verse to you, because the verse may not seem to be very significant. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now I want you to look at the footnote. Do you have a footnote on dispersion? Who's got it? Could stand up and read it with a very loud voice.
Amen. Dispersion.
Yeah, read it all together. Turn around.
Amen. A term familiar to all the Jews scattered among the nations, indicating that this epistle was written to the Jewish believers. It is from the Greek word that means to scatter or spread abroad. Its root means to sow. This implies that the scattered Jews were sown as seeds among the Gentiles.
Good, huh? In the dispersion, when the persecution hit and those believing Jews were scattered, to God's mind, to God's heart, he was just like a sower reaching into his bag and scattering seeds, gospel seeds. Brother Nee talked about this one time when he was, actually I had done a publication search on seeds of the gospel or gospel seeds. This is a phrase that we'll be referring to tonight quite a bit. And I was looking to see if Brother Nee used this expression. And I found out he did. In a number of places, he gave reports how they had gone to the city and they passed out 1,000 gospel tracts. And then he will say something like, we sowed a lot of gospel seeds there. That the literature was a seed of the gospel, gospel seeds. And then in one case, he was talking about the war, World War II, when the Japanese invading army had occupied northern part of China and the coastal area. And a lot of the saints were scattered. They dispersed into the inland of China. And he called them gospel seeds, seeds of the gospel. We sowed a lot of seeds there. Of course, he goes on to say, sadly, it did not bear much result. But still, using this expression to describe persons, I found very interesting that the seeds of the gospel were people. Then Brother Lee used this expression a lot. And so tonight, actually, when I first prepared this outline a number of years ago, the title of the outline was called Seeds of the Gospel. It was like a banner. You know, seeds of the gospel. I was so excited about this point that I wanted to put it in flashing neon lights. Well, tonight what I'd like to do is I really would like to open up my heart. I would like to just fellowship with you, because this message is one of the landmark points concerning the proper thought related to the work with the children in the Lord's recovery. And this particular message, we need a great recovery. We are not too aware of this. And I realize that, you know, I've been here a few times and we've probably fellowshipped on this a number of times. And it takes a few times to get it, to really get it. But I'd like to open up this matter from my heart. So I'm just going to begin to read through the outline, and then we'll see where the Lord will bring us in our fellowship. Having the increase of the church also through the children. I mentioned it this morning in the second session that one of the functions of the children's work is to gain the families from the outsiders. If we get into the thought of this outline, you'll be amazed. You'll be really amazed at Brother Lee's thought. And maybe this is the best way for me to introduce this particular matter, is that I'd like to ask you to just drop every thought, every concept you've ever held, not hold on to anything, and let's continue to dream. You know, to enter into our brother's feeling and our brother's thought means that we have to drop the way we've always done it, our concept, what we think is possible. I will testify to you some of the frustration that I went through, some of the resistance that was in my being as we came to this matter. But I'll begin by just reading through this outline, okay? Many years ago, we did not realize that the children are a big gospel work. Not just a gospel work, saints. Big. Big. A big gospel work. Big, big, big. We only cared to preach the gospel while neglecting the fact that the children also are the fruit of the gospel. When I first read this particular line, this particular ministry portion a number of years ago, I was touched in a particular way that those who serve in the children's work are doing a gospel work. For us to gain our second generation is a great thing. It's a great and it's a big gospel work. But the more I realized, the more I got into what Brother Lee was saying, and my eyes were opened, I realized it's not just our kids that he was burdened for. His eyes were on all the children. You'll see that. But this point, you should underline this, you should highlight this, you should memorize it. We did not realize that the children are a big gospel work. This is point number one. We may be doing our best to preach the gospel on the campus, Bibles for Canada, the radio broadcast, whatever. We're doing a lot. We're spending a lot of money. But if we pay proper attention to the children's work in time, many more brothers and sisters will be properly brought up in the church. He said, this is a much more effective way for us to preach the gospel, is to do the children's work. Do the children's work in a proper way. Even if only half... Okay, before we get to point one, I need to explain something to you. Remember this morning I put 10,000 children on the board? And at that time, he estimated that maybe among the saints there was 4,000 children. And he wanted to get to 10,000, and so that meant we had to go crazy, go to the highways and byways, go to our relatives, our friends, and saints, listen, how many brothers and sisters that have met with us in the past and they stopped meeting for whatever reason? They got defeated, they got discouraged, they got busy, they had kids, whatever the reason, don't you think they would like to have their children in the children's meeting? Absolutely, absolutely. But if we made this the target of our work, we want to get from 4,000 to 10,000, or maybe we want to get from 40 to 100. Now we could pray in a definite, specific way. Lord, we need 60. Give us 60. And then we begin to talk to the kids. Invite your friends. We'd like to have 100 here. We don't know how long. Maybe it'll take us a year, but let's go. Let's get 100. Invite your cousins. Invite your neighbors. Invite your friends. This is how Brother Lee was trying to help to endeavor to get to that point. And then he says this, even if only half of the children came into the church life. He was talking about the half, you know, not the 4,000, but the 6,000 added. Only if half of those came into the church life, what? We would have thousands of more saints meeting with us. Have you ever had this kind of thought that those that are serving in the children's work would consider? We've got 40 on the Lord's Day. We really would like to get to 100. How about we pray for this? How about we speak about this? We tell the church. We tell the saints. Let's make a list. Let's make a list of the ones we know that have stopped meeting, but they still have children. And let's find a way we could go get them. We could bring the children back, and we could raise them up through the children's meeting. This is a much more effective way to gain the increase than preaching the gospel. Moreover, those who are gained in this way will have a good foundation. He said this is the most effective way to preach the gospel. Is not, you know, Brother Lee, he was not telling us to stop preaching the gospel. He would never do that. But when he was like an accountant, and he's saying, compare all your efforts on this side. And if you spent half that effort over here on the children, what would be the result? What would be the effect? You know, when I put those numbers on the board, there were 1,600 being baptized every year of these 10,000. If that's what we did, there would be 1,600 baptisms a year, over 150 every month. What campaign could you put on, or could they put on, where they could baptize 150 a month, month after month after month, and never stop? It's just like a waterfall pouring into the church. This is what he was considering. Point B, when the children are saved, they become our young brothers and sisters. After they graduate from primary school, they become the seeds of the gospel in the junior high school. First thing, they become our young brothers and sisters. Right after they're baptized, I want to point out to you the three becomings. You know, with the Lord, you have three becomings. I'd like to tell you about the children's three becomings. First of all, they become our young brothers and sisters. To their parents, they're children. But to us, they're our young brothers and sisters. Even to the parents, they're young brothers and sisters. But parents still have to raise them. But to us, hi, brother. What's your name? It's a brother. And not only that, they become seeds of the gospel. Something happened that caused them to become seeds of the gospel. You know, when we first began to unpack this expression, seeds of the gospel, we realized a few things. Number one, a seed is a container of life. And during these early years, what we're doing is we're shaping the shell, the outward shell of their humanity. And when they believe in the Lord, the divine life goes into that shell, and that is what causes it to become a seed. It's a container of life. That's what a seed is. Now, a seed is not for display. You don't take the seed and you put it out on the shelf. Oh, look how beautiful, my child. You know, it's a real specimen of proper humanity. Typically, seeds are kind of ugly, you know, and they're also little. And what you do with them is you sow them. That's when they become effective. So the first thing we should be impressed with about a seed is that it's a container of life. The second thing is that it should be sown. And it's sown and scattered by the sower. That's what he does. He scatters them. And they're all different schools. They're in different neighborhoods. It was the wisdom, sovereignty of the sower that did that. The boy may complain, I'm the only one in my school. The sower did that. by his wisdom, his sovereignty, that's what he did. He scattered you there. That's why you're there. You know, when I was going, and I'm still going to Europe every year to be with the young people, there's young people there. They're the only ones in their country, the only one in their language. Seeds scattered. The third thing that we should be impressed with about a seed is that a seed multiplies. One seed falls into the ground and it brings forth much fruit. Seeds don't have to work at this. It's not a campaign. Seeds multiply. That's just what they do. And so this has to be our view. Our children's work is a work to produce seeds. They're not seeds here. They become seeds. When we were putting this book together, the brothers, the editorial brothers, the co-workers were quite concerned that some of the saints would become excited about this point, and I was to blame for that. I was excited about it, and I stirred up a lot of excitement. But then they would make the kids go out, 5 years old, gospel seeds, 5 years old, child evangelism, and they would, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, we're preparing them, shaping, molding this humanity so that when the divinity enters into this humanity, they become a seed of the gospel. We have to be clear about that. So, brothers and sisters, as we do the children's work, we have to be clear that the end result, the goal of our work, the finished product, is a gospel seed. That means they received the Lord, they regenerated, they were redeemed, they experienced the Lord themselves, they got baptized, seed. And now they're ready to be scattered to the junior high schools as a seed to reproduce, to multiply. I think in many places, most places, we never entertained this kind of thought. We didn't have this thought. But this is a prevailing thought in the ministry concerning the children's work. This may be, now I'm predicting, this may be the hardest aspect of this kind of children's work for us to accept. I can testify, I told you, I had a lot of reservations about this. When I began to read these excerpts, they were not published in English yet. I was reading translations of Chinese messages given in Taiwan in the 60s. And when Brother Lee was talking about this quite a bit, and the brothers were showing me, oh, look at seeds of the gospel, seeds of the gospel. And I thought, no way. No way. You don't know our kids. I mean, if you saw our junior hires, you would. There's no way. It's not going to work. Have you seen them? And maybe in Taiwan this will work. But not here. I mean, that was my attitude and that was my feeling. So I dismissed it. And then it came up again. I dismissed it. It came up again. I rejected it. I was not open. I thought, oh man, our kids, our junior high kids preaching the gospel, you know, gaining their friends. Maybe when they get to high school, maybe. But I was doubting Thomas. I was the biggest obstacle. And then we had Brother Ricky came to Southern California for a teacher's training. This was in May of 2007. I still remember it vividly because it was a teacher's training, just like what you had last week. And in his opening message, he was talking about some of the factors, you know, and the various principles. And in his message, he mysteriously used this expression that our children would become seeds of the gospel in the schools. And I'm sitting there with like the brothers, and I'm going, Ricky, seeds of the gospel, where did you hear this? I know you're not reading these transcripts that I'm reading. You don't have access to them. And I'm keeping them under lock and key so nobody else will read them. How did you know this? Where did you hear this? Where did you get this expression? That was so impossible. So after the meeting, I asked him, I said, Ricky, where did you hear this thing about seeds of the gospel? He said, oh, Brother Benjamin, he talks about it all the time. And I realized, you know, he was one of those gospel seeds back in Taiwan then in the 50s and 60s. So then I realized, oh, you know, that at that moment, in that meeting, boy, the speaking spirit said, you better open up to this. You better open up to this. Don't fight this anymore. You're not going to win. You're going to lose. So I was subdued. And so then began to read this again and again and open up to this. And I realized, brothers and sisters, this element has to be a factor in our children's work. It has to be a gospel burden. There has to be a gospel atmosphere, a gospel spirit. Every serving one, all the responsible ones, the leading brothers, everybody should recognize that this is one of the greatest outlets for our gospel work. You know, we have a campus team in Irvine. You have a campus team here. The church is supporting full-timers, and they're laboring, they pray, they coordinate, they go out, they visit the students. But there's another outlet for the gospel that we may have never even thought of before. Sometimes I thought, it's like one whole side of the New Jerusalem, there's no gates. You know how there's 12 gates, 3 gates on each wall? And we have one section of the New Jerusalem that has never been opened. Those gates have never been produced. Those pearls have not ever been worked out. And so now we're at a crucial juncture in our consideration in raising up our children. You know, we want our, you know, one of the opening burdens that I always present at the beginning of these kinds of conferences is this burden to capture our second generation, that we still lose so many of them. And as the more we got into touch this matter of gospel seeds, it became so clear to us that our children have been growing up in the church life in a very passive, inactive way. And we have to begin in the children's work to prepare them to be scattered as seeds. This is why I said last night that our campus work begins at 5 years old. It begins with preparing the vessels, putting them into this kind of habit and culture of inviting their friends, of multiplying, of increasing the children's work. Okay. So we have two becomings. They become our young brothers and sisters, and they become the seeds of the gospel. When we work in the schools, the young brothers and sisters become, another becoming, they become our inside helpers and bring their classmates to us. In this way, it is easier to work in the junior high schools. He's talking about junior high school, saints. And what are they? They are our inside helpers. How many of us can walk onto a junior high campus and preach the gospel? Do they let you do that in Canada? You just walk on campus and start contacting the students? You can do this in the universities. You can't do it in high school. Probably not here either. In America, you can't. And in junior highs, you can't. But you know what? We've got junior high kids, and they walk on that campus every day. They're sitting in those classrooms. They're surrounded by hundreds. It's swarming with unbelieving fish. And there they are, our kids, right in the midst. And so what you do, you go, David, you're going to be sitting in that classroom tomorrow. I want you to pray about which of one of your friends I want you to bring him to my house after school. He becomes my inside helper. You know, I don't have any gospel friends. Do you have a lot of gospel friends? But if I got a junior hire within reach, I've got an inside helper. And he's got hundreds of gospel friends. He becomes my inside helper. Now he becomes my co-worker. And I work together with him. And he brings his friends to me. And over time, the opportunity will come where I can share the gospel to his friend. We probably shouldn't baptize him until his parents are okay with it. So we're very wise and limited, and maybe through him, through his friend, we can contact the family. Any saint can do this. This is why if we bring, see, this is, some of this is just awesome. If you bring these kids into your home meetings right after they're baptized, then you begin to activate them. You begin to activate their function. Abel, who do you hang out with at school? What's his name? Give me a name. John. Okay, John. We need to pray for John. Does John know the Lord? I don't know. Well, maybe we should pray for him. And of course, the kids are thinking, well, just bring him to a meeting. Bring him to a meeting. We don't care about bringing him to a meeting. But we say, hey, Abel, why don't you bring him to the home meeting next week? I'd like to meet him. I'd like to get to know him. And Abel goes, okay, I'll invite him. Say, hey, you want to come to dinner? Get dinner over at some friend's house. I'd like you to come. So he comes. He goes, you know, what's this? What's this? And you got this old guy over there, you know, Ron and Chris. And he says, oh, yeah, you got to meet these guys. They're really cool. I mean, and then you got this, you know, the young brothers and the, it's family. It's like our family. And it's so natural. They could, and then the home meeting can reap them. And the home meeting becomes a container for them. Brothers and sisters, in a church, we should have 25 home meetings just like this. We want to get the children, we want to get the young people. We got to open up all the gates. All the gates have to be opened up. And then they become our inside helpers. What do you think? Dream with me. Let's, don't wake up. Don't wake up yet. Okay. And after we dream a little bit, then we have to pray a lot. Huh? Okay. Point two. The young brothers and sisters in a junior high school can be likened to little seeds. They're waiting to sprout by responding to our call and bringing their classmates to salvation. They're likened to little seeds. Now, I know some of you have the Chinese version of this book. Who has the Chinese version of Raising Up the Next Generation? You have the Chinese translation? Brother Lee didn't use the word little seeds in that book. And when he spoke it in Chinese, he used a different expression. Little bombs. Little bombs. He said they're waiting to respond to our call. You roll them into the school, and you're standing back there, and you're going to activate them. And they go off. It's not good to talk about bombs in the schools, though. But I like Brother Lee's feeling. His sentiment here is that we send them in. And that we somehow activate their function. So when the editorial brothers in English, they changed that. Because I got to read the literal translation of this message long before it was edited and published. I was waiting. I couldn't wait till the English came out. I wanted to see if the brothers really would say little bombs or not. And, oh, man. The little seeds. But seeds are good too, because seeds are organic, right? A bomb can only destroy, but a seed can grow. Does it say little bombs in there? Yeah. Are your junior high kids bombs or seeds or what? Yeah. Okay. They're waiting to sprout by responding to our call and bringing their classmates to salvation. Now, what you begin to see, something is taking shape. There is something taking shape. Watch it. At 5 and 6 year olds, you're teaching them one way. At 7 and 8, you're teaching them another way. 8 and 9, you're teaching them a little different. Finally, they come to this crisis of salvation, redemption. They're convicted. They meet the Lord in a definite way. He becomes their Savior. And now they have this equipment. They've been equipped with a definite experience of salvation and a very meaningful baptism. And then right away, they get thrust into the junior high schools as seeds. And what are we doing? We're working with them. We're activating their function. Now they're on the offense. We're not just trying to preserve them and keep them from all the bad things. We have activated their function, and now they are becoming our inside helpers. What's happened is we are producing co-workers. And they become co-workers in junior high. They become our co-workers in high school. What do you think they're going to be doing when they go to college? They're going to be doing the same thing. They've been doing it for 6 years already. They've been in home meetings for 6 years already. They've been inviting their friends for 10 years already. They started inviting their friends over here. And they started leading their friends to salvation over here. When they get to college, they're not going to be running away, hiding in the bushes, trying to avoid the full-timers. They're going to be bugging the full-timers. When are we going to pray? When do we set up the table? Where are we going to meet? When do we go out? Saints, we are already experiencing this in a number of places. These kids, they're ready to go. They come onto the campus, and they come on not as dormant young people, but as inside helpers, co-workers. They're the ones that are sitting in those classrooms surrounded by hundreds of lost people. They're the ones that we need to activate. And this activation begins here. If you want to wait until they get saved, it's too late. You miss some critical developmental behaviors and habits. And now you're trying to do it later. It's not that easy. It's better. Start at 5 years old. Oh, they begin to make friends. He said, always the children like to make friends. And then what do? We bring our friends. I think you can understand. Point C, when they enter into high school, they again become seeds of the gospel. During their 3 years of high school, we can bring 3 times as many people to salvation. When these young saints finish high school and enter college, they are seeds of the gospel in their college. In this way, the number of people saved is continually multiplied. Oh, okay. Should we do the math again? Let's dream a little practically, though, huh? You got 40 kids. How many kids do you have in the church in Toronto that come on the Lord's Day? How many are on the list? More? 60? Well, let's just do this for fun because it's easier with rounder numbers. Let's do 50, okay? And they're spread out over 6 years. So let's do 60. So there's 10 a year, okay? And that's 10 per year. So 10 will become seeds of the gospel. But suppose this group of 10 that were grade 1 together, grade 2 together, grade 3, and so forth, became 20 during the children's meeting. That 10 became 20. Your 60 became 120. Well, yeah. But it's every year it's compounding, so it's hard to do this. But anyway, these 10 became 20, and then they graduated. So we baptized 20, and we sent them to junior high. Then these 20 became 40 during those 2 years of junior high. We had a 100% increase in 2 years doing the junior high gospel work, the junior high campus work. Blow your mind. Then we send them to high school. So now we send 40 to high school. And he said three times as many. So he said, the model, the blueprint says every year they should multiply, right? So the first year that 40 becomes 80. The second year they become 160. Let's see, freshman, sophomore, junior, and then 320 when they graduate from high school. Mike R. That's what they call Mike R, Mike T, all the different Mikes here. How would you like to have 320 coworkers going onto the campus? And they said to you, when are we going to pray? When are we going to meet? Where's the tracks? Where's the table? And then they go to college. Every year in college, 320 become 640, become 1280, become 2560. It started at 5 years old. Do you understand? This is the view. This is what he's talking about. Wow. Don't wake up. Don't wake up yet. I guess at some point we have to wake up, but not now, okay? Let's dream. But I'm not satisfied to be just dreaming it. How awesome would it be if there was 8 or 10 saints, whatever age, didn't matter age, didn't matter moms or grandparents or young or high school or college, but they would dedicate themselves. They would consecrate themselves to work out the dream. You know, when Brother Lee went back to Taiwan in 77, he said it was a pity you didn't do what I said. He went back in 84. He said, 18 years ago, I told you to do this. You didn't do it. In 1987, he said, 20 years ago, I told you to do this. I could show you all the quotes. You know, he never let it go. And he never let the brothers go. He gave them no rest. You didn't do it. I wish you would have done it. You should have done it. Where would we be today if you had done it? He, even in 1992 was the last time that I heard him mention it. It was in the training, the life study of the minor prophets when he was covering Jonah. What he did is he asked the high schoolers to come up for the test, and the high schoolers were being tested, and he was trying to get the high schoolers to tell the story of Jonah, and they kept wanting to talk about the intrinsic significance of Jonah being a type of Christ, and he said, stop, no, just tell me the story. And they couldn't do it. They always wanted to do the intrinsic significance. Christ is 3 days in the whale, 3 days in the dirt. Just like us. They were high schoolers, and they're already like this. Can you imagine when they get to be 30 or 40 what they're going to be like? He said, no, just tell me the story. Finally, he called up one of the co-workers. He said, would you just tell the story? It was really amazing to watch this. We got this videotape. We showed it to the trainees, and it was really, really kind of really interesting. Well, the coworker that he called up, he didn't really know the story either. But the reason he called him up was because this particular coworker was kind of wild. He was kind of a crazy, wild coworker. And he had been working on this brother to help him to be calm. And Brother Lee wanted him to be wild. Tell the story like this, Brother Lee. He moved his arms around. He's sitting there. Tell the story like this, you know. So the brother, he did not know what to do. Because if he did this, he'd get rebuked by Brother Lee, because Brother Lee had been working on him. If he didn't do this, Brother Lee wouldn't be satisfied. So he was really having a hard time. Eventually, he tells the story. But then Brother Lee, before he gave the message, he spent 45 minutes talking about the children's work. And he reminded the brothers in Taiwan in 1967. Now it's what? 1992 to 1967. Do the math, somebody with a brain. 25? 25 years ago. And he just wouldn't let them go. Brothers and sisters, why don't we do this for Brother Lee? Do it for our Lord, of course. But work out this vision. Our children's work is a big gospel work. I surely would like to see this worked out. There's a lot of aspects in this book. This book is not a manual, it's a vision. And there's a lot of aspects that are very appealing and very touching. And it's easy to pick them up and easy to be burdened for them. But this is one of the aspects, one of the factors that we cannot skip over. We have to do this. Sorry, give you no rest. Point D, when these young saints finish high school and enter college, they are seeds of the gospel in their college. In this way, the number of people saved is continually multiplied. This is what he means, continually multiplied. It's just compounding. It started with 10. Look at this, saints. It started with 10, and it ended with 2,500. That's why it doesn't matter what your starting number is. You say, well, we only have 30 kids in the children's meeting. I don't care. Whatever you start with, multiply. That's what seeds do. Okay, so this is not realistic. Okay, amen. Point E. Suppose, let's continue our dream. Suppose these children begin to be cultivated in the children's meeting at the age of 6 and are saved. And they continue to be cultivated through 3 years of junior high school, 3 years of high school, and 4 years of college. In all, they will receive a total of 16 years of spiritual education and cultivation. I really appreciate Brother Lee did not use the word just educate. He used this word cultivation because that describes this kind of work in this stage. It's a real cultivation. Of course, with some education, but mainly a kind of cultivation. Point F, we should not do a work merely among the children in the church. Circle not. We should not, let me read it again, do a work merely among the children in the church. Our work must include the children outside the church. This is the children's gospel work. Huh? Children's gospel work. Ron, have we ever had such a thing? Have we ever heard of such a thing? Children's gospel work? Really? You get the kids together, you give them a message, and you make them come forward and receive the Lord? No, that's not what he means. What he means by children's gospel work is that you're inviting your friends, you're bringing them in. You sing a song to them. You tell them a story. That's the gospel work. It's not like an altar call, or it's not like a gospel meeting for college students or adults. The children's gospel work is different. It's our work to gain an increase. One place I know, they have a children's gospel meeting twice a year, I believe. And about a month before the meeting is scheduled, they'll make an announcement to the whole church. Children's gospel meeting is on such and such a day. And then they tell the children, next month, in 4 weeks, we're going to have the children's gospel meeting. You need to consider who of your friends you would like to invite. And then they make up some invitations. And they give it to the children in the children's meeting. And they tell the children, you know, you need to go home. David, go home and pray with your mother. Pray with your mommy. Which of your friends you should invite to the children's gospel meeting. And so David goes home. He prays with his mom. He decides that he's going to invite these three friends. So he goes to school with these invitations. He passes them out to his friends at school. And this takes place. We announce it. We promote it. We fellowship about it over a period of 3 or 4 weeks. And the church is praying. The church is praying. Oh, the children's gospel meeting. The children's gospel meeting. The children pick up this thought, this concept that we need to bring people in, that we're bringing people in. And then the day comes, the children's gospel meeting. The kids are excited. They put on their best clothes. And they go to pick up their friends. And they bring them to the children's meeting. Often the mothers will follow because they want to see what is their children getting into. What is this church? What is this? Some won't be able to come, but some will come. You should pray. You could be amazed if we just prayed how many would come. And then what do? We sing songs. What do? We sing. We make them happy. We teach them songs. You know, the rolling hills and the daffodils, huh? Right, Angela, you're going to have to get up here and help me. And we teach them songs, and they sing, and then we give them a lesson, just like any week. And then we give them a little craft, maybe, a snack, and that's it. But those moms are lined up in the back. Get them. Meet them. Talk to them. Their children want to come back. I want to come back next week. I want to come back next week. We should do this. We should do this twice a year. Set the date and do it. All hands on deck. Everybody's up for this. See what will happen. Point F. Okay, one. Every children's home meeting should frequently preach the gospel and invite their relatives and the children of their neighbors. Even though some parents will not come, they will allow their children to come. The brothers in London, they made a very simple invitation. It said, we're going to be teaching Bible stories and character lessons. They didn't try to hide it. They didn't try to veil it in any way. Bible stories, character lessons. And they sent out they handed out the invitations. And the kids came. The kids came. I was trying to look up when we were singing two emails I got from the saints in London at Bower House, District 9, and the experiences that they're having with this very thing, children's home meetings. Did you see that point one? Every children's home meeting. You've been to one of those, right? You know what that's like. How many of those have we got? Every children's home meeting. Well, these saints in London, they have a children's home meeting. And they will name off all the names of the neighbor kids that are coming. And they come every week. And they're getting them. And they're getting their moms. And they're getting their families. This is no joke. This is real, saints. Point two, we believe that many people will be brought in through the children's gospel work. There it is again. The children's meeting will open up a way to gain people, especially the parents of the other children. We should not, again, another not, we should not limit our work to the children of the saints who are in the meetings. We also need to invite the children of our neighbors and friends. Furthermore, we hope that every home will be open for the gospel. If we continue the children's work, we will be unable to estimate the long-term result. If we labor on the children, our numbers will continually grow. This is the view. This was very hard for me to accept, to open up to. But anyway, may the Lord have his way. In 1968, it's in the Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1968, Volume 2. I can't tell you the page number. But he's talking about strengthening the students' work. That's the section, strengthening the students' work. And he talks about mainly about the campus, the college, university work. But immediately after one paragraph, he begins to talk about the children's work. To strengthen the students' work, you have to strengthen the children's work. And then he goes on to talk about the high school, the junior high and the high school work. And then the college work. And then full-timers. What this message presents is a very clear flow, just like I have on the board, of how this work moves from stage to stage. How this is preparation. This is training, perfecting, and this is reaping. And out of these kids, there will be a good number. He expected, he hoped, 10% would become full-timers serving the Lord full-time. When he was discussing this, two times in that short message, he says this, and this was amazing to me. He said, if it wasn't for the burden for the Lord's move in America, I would return to Taiwan to work this out. That was how heavy this burden was upon him. That he would compare it to his moving to America for the Lord's move there. 1968, he had only been in America for 5 years. And he's comparing this work with the children, the young people, the students, to the significance of. Two times he says it in that message. If it wasn't for the burden in America, I would come back and work this out. This would be what I would do for the next 6 years. He was so definite. Point H. This was the point I was telling you about. We must realize that the children's work is a crucial burden. Every locality must be aggressive. In the children's work, because there is a greater future in the children's work than in the campus work. A greater future. Do you know what that means? That means when you start at 5 years old and you begin to grow a crop, when they get saved and they become useful, you don't have a lot of complications that you have to unravel and remedial work that you have to make up. Right away, they can become so useful. So he uses the word a greater future. Whether there'll be a greater result, we don't know, but there's a potential for a greater future from the children's work than the campus work. We never thought this. Sorry. When we preach the gospel, we frequently have to go out to gain people. We even go to the campuses to gain people. These people are along the roads and hedges. There's only one group of people who are not along the roads, the children in our own homes. The people along the roads might come today or tomorrow, but the people in our own homes will always be there. Furthermore, our children can bring other children. So this is the principle. You know, you go out to the highways and byways. That's one way of preaching the gospel. But there's another way. We grow them up in our families, and they become our fruit. Romans 2. Our work for the Lord should have a long-term view. I think you have to be impressed that since this morning until now, what we have been presenting to you is a long-term view. If you want to just do something to gain a quick result with a quick turnaround, you go out, you get somebody saved, you bring them into the church. Of course, that's one way to work. But there's another way to work, and it's to grow a crop. You start little, and you grow, and you multiply that. Ultimately, that becomes the quickest way, the fastest way. And this is the long-term view. 6 years go by very quickly. Soon the children in first grade will be young brothers and sisters. When they enter junior high school, we can preach the gospel to their classmates in junior high. While in junior high, they will bring some classmates to salvation. After graduation, they will proceed to high school and become the gospel seed in high school. In their 3 years of high school, they'll bring in three times as many students. You think this is a repeat. It's a different quote on a different day, at a different message, a different audience. He says the exact same thing. He repeated himself on this nearly verbatim again and again and again. You can't believe it. He never changed. He didn't. From the 60s through the 70s, the God-ordained way, in the 80s, the high peak of the divine revelation, in the 90s, he kept saying the same thing. He never, ever changed. After these brothers and sisters graduate, they will go on to college and become the gospel seed in college. This kind of multiplying is incredible. Pretty incredible. D, these children would be gospel seeds in junior high school. They would be gospel seeds in high school. They would be gospel seeds in college, and they would be seeds the entire time that they are in school. This is, we call this one of the pillars of the children's work. Actually, there's two. You know, when they built the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, they had these two very dominating pillars in the front, made out of bronze. The weight was immeasurable. They couldn't calculate the weight. 18 cubits high. Big pillars. First thing you see when you come to the temple, my, these pillars. They were so dominant that they gave names to them. They named them. Oh, that's Jacob. That's Boaz, you know. Our children's work needs two pillars just like this. One of the pillars is called gospel seeds, seeds of the gospel. That's one of the things that dominates our vision, our burden, our view. We are producing seeds of the gospel. The other pillar, tomorrow morning, we call that proper humanity. Proper humanity. There were two things that he repeated again and again and again. They become seeds of the gospel in junior high, in high school. They become seeds of the gospel their whole life. And then the other thing that he repeated again and again was build them up in their humanity to be proper human beings. Build them up in their humanity to be proper human beings. Tomorrow we'll fellowship this more thoroughly. That's the other pillar. We wanted to cover these two this weekend to make sure that we had a good initial impression of a prevailing children's work in the church. So how about we stop here? Finished. Are there any questions? I mean, I understand there might be. It's good, huh? How do you feel? It's time to wake up. Now it's time to pray, huh? Maybe we should pray a little bit. Lord, work this out. Amen. We don't trust in ourselves. Amen. We don't expect that we could do anything. Amen. But we say amen to what was spoken. We amen what is within our brother's heart. Amen. Lord, how he was leading the churches. Amen. We open to this thought. Amen. We pray our children's work could become a big gospel work. Amen. That what he said could be worked out here and everywhere.
Amen.
Lord, that our children could become the real seeds of the gospel.
Amen.
We would have this kind of long-term view.
Amen.
And it would be worked out.
Amen.
City after city.
Amen.
Church after church.
Amen.
Amen.